You're listening to On Trend with Jothiel. Tune in every Monday to hear me talk about the latest in pop culture and fashion.
Hi everyone, this is Jothiel. Thank you for tuning in to my show, On Trend, here at Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We have a really fun show ahead of us today with lots of fashion-related news and pop culture to talk about. Lots of interesting things happened this week, and I've collected some of my most memorable moments to share with you all. So we're going to move into my first segment, which is going to be covering this week's top news. One of the first top news that really caught my eye this week was the White House state dinner, which was hosted for the Prime Minister of Canada and his wife. There was so many memorable fashion highlights of all of the really glamorous attendees that I wanted to go over with you. One of the first two people that really need an honorable mention is Sasha and Malia Obama, who are 14 and 17 years old, and this was their very first time attending the state dinner. Because it was their first invitation, all eyes were obviously on them, and people were so excited to see what these girls were going to wear. And I personally was excited as well. I think that seeing them growing up right before our eyes in the media has definitely created an attachment between the American people and these young girls. And we love seeing them do well, and we love seeing them grow up, because now they seem a little bit too grown up. They seem like they're almost adults. So everyone was looking to see what they were wearing. And they really looked gorgeous and fashionable. They wore beautiful gowns, and they really showed how much they grew up. So Malia, first of all, wore a classic traditional gown. She opted for a more classic white gown with a full princess skirt and intricate beadwork running down it. Meanwhile, Sasha looked super playful. She wore a more bohemian-esque gown with a burgundy lace applique and a summery side braid and a super on-trend choker necklace, which really revealed her age in a way, because she is only 14 years old. And of course, she's keeping up with the latest trends just like any other 14-year-old. And same goes for Malia as well. At 17 years old, of course, these girls want to look appropriate for the state dinner, but they also want to show off their unique sense of style and let everyone know that maybe their style is a little bit different than their mother's, Michelle Obama, who people have been watching for a while. Everyone has been watching Michelle for quite a long period of time, photographing all of her outfits. Michelle has really become a style icon. So of course we have to talk next about Michelle. Michelle wore a printed midnight blue gown by one of her favorites, a Taiwanese Canadian designer, Jason Wu, which is super appropriate because this is a Canadian state dinner. And meanwhile, Obama looked great next to her in a black suit. And the dinner was attended by lots of other famous, very notable Canadians, and the first daughters got to sit with them and enjoy their time, basically being able to ask any of their potential idols any questions. Sasha was seated right next to Blake Lively, who was wearing a Ralph Russo dress, which kind of looked like a robe, but in the most sophisticated way that you could imagine a robe looking. It was definitely not something unimpressive. It was gorgeous. It really made her look like she just stepped out of a Greek movie. She looked like a Greek goddess with her flowing gown. And of course, her husband Ryan Reynolds looked amazing next to her, as of course anyone would expect him to. There was actually a super funny picture that was going around where Sasha Obama is meeting Ryan Reynolds for the first time, and Malia is giving her a thumbs up as Sasha is clearly a little bit flustered because she's meeting someone who she admires so much and who's so famous, like Ryan Reynolds. And that's definitely putting things into perspective, considering that these young girls have been in the spotlight for quite a long period of time. They definitely aren't new to the fame scene, but yet they are also being starstruck by someone like Ryan Reynolds. And it makes them very relatable. It makes it super relatable to see that these girls are actually very normal. They're 14 and 17. They want to stand out at the state dinner. They want to enjoy themselves. And they definitely are going to get excited when they meet someone like Ryan Reynolds, who may be one of their idols. Another person that is super notable is Sandra Oh. Sandra Oh is from Grey's Anatomy, and she was born in Ottawa. So, of course, she was invited to attend the Canadian state dinner. and she looked very regal as well. She was actually seated next to Malia Obama. So both of the girls were seated next to people that they both really admire. Another big person, of course, is the Prime Minister of Canada and his wife. They both looked great, and they definitely made themselves... They are quite a young couple, so they definitely fit in with Michelle and Barack, and they made themselves at home in the White House. They definitely both looked great, and I really admire the Canadian Prime Minister's style and everything that he said from what I heard in his speeches. He seems like a super entertaining and charismatic man, and of course, he made the most of the situation. So the next piece of fashion news that I wanted to talk about today was Spanish clothing retailers Zara's launch of a first ever unisex line of clothing to break down, as they said, stereotypes about women and women's fashion. This line is extremely groundbreaking. Ungendered fashion is something that is still appearing into the market, but has definitely had a long history when it comes to being in the media or being in the pop scene. It was first kind of shown into the market or into any kind of mainstream culture by Bowie, who tended to wear women's clothes on stage, and then that was preceded by Mick Jagger. People like that, rock stars, really made themselves obviously people to look at in terms of fashion, and although it wasn't necessarily emulated on its own at first, it was definitely something that made a huge statement. So back to Zara. Zara's unisex line is called Ungendered, and it includes basic t-shirts, tracksuits, and jeans, and they're marketed towards both women and men, and the ad campaign for the clothes also features male and female models. I thought this ad campaign was great. Zara is a store that definitely has both its ups and downs. It's a store, of course, that sells fast fashion, so it has about 30 seasons every single year, but it still managed to create something really new here that's very different than anything it's ever done before. And I definitely am taking a different look at Zara now that I'm seeing how much they're moving so progressively in the market. I know that there are lots of people who have loved to see androgynous clothing, which is a mixture of women and men's pieces into one and could potentially be also unisex, but I've yet to see a completely ungendered line. And for someone who is so mainstream like Zara, it's very impressive. And I think it's great. I really think there needs to be more like that on the market if there is such a huge demand for it. And clearly there is, because the collection already has had really, really great sales. It has, by Zara, a statement. It says, Ungendered is a selection of curated silhouettes enhanced by the easy and comfortable approach to basics. It's specifically designed with the fashion tendencies that Zara customers would have in mind, meaning that the pieces are classic, they are simple, they're comfortable and easy to wear, and there's something you can go into the store and pick up, and you don't necessarily need to think twice about it, which is where Zara really succeeds, I think, because of course, as a fast fashion retailer, they are someone that wants customers to keep coming in continuously, season by season, even more than four seasons, about 30 seasons, because they're perpetually having more and more clothing entering their store. They're someone that wants people to continuously come in, not really think about whether or not they need that item. It's not necessarily going to be an investment piece. It's just going to be something to go into your closet for now. And this line really fits that. But it's also making a huge statement, and I really hope that it realizes what a huge statement that it's making on the market, because mainstream androgynous fashion and unisex fashion really hasn't had its moment yet. Although it's been around in the media, like I said, back to Bowie and Mick Jagger, it really has never had its peak. We only really see people like Jaden Smith, who is Will Smith's son, who is wearing, he wore a skirt to prom. He definitely is making a statement on his own. And there are many other faces like that, like Kanye West and Justin Bieber, who are moving androgynous fashion forward. But there has yet to be a moment for them. And Target is also set to release its own gender-neutral line of clothing coming up next summer, which sounds very cool. I really do hope that more mainstream retailers also begin selling gender-neutral clothing, because it's something that clearly has a need. People really do want to see that on the market. And I think that's pretty obvious. We don't necessarily have to keep everything specifically gendered if there is a need for that and people would genuinely like to see that in stores. The last piece of fashion news that I wanted to share with you today comes from an Australian retail company. Mostly this is a specific thing that their advertising campaign launched into the internet sphere, and it immediately blew up. It was so controversial and it elicited so many negative responses from people that it was clear that there was something off about the campaign. So if you could visualize it, it is basically a girl who is a plus size model wearing a pair of pants, except for the pair of pants is only on one of her legs. And they are supposed to be advertising these shorts for technically plus size models, but they did it in the most offensive way that I've personally ever seen anyone advertise clothing. I thought it was just horrible and so offensive to anyone, even if that's not even somewhere you shop or were ever interested in shopping in. It was extremely offensive. And as I said, it elicited so many responses, whether it be on Twitter or Tumblr or Facebook. People were posting this everywhere and sharing it. It went viral. And of course, for negative reasons, I'm sure that for them, this was a huge PR mistake because then they had to reverse and apologize for the advertising campaign. But of course, before their apology and before that was all addressed, a famous blogger who happens to be plus size posted a huge post where she actually made fun and did a sartorial kind of approach on making fun of this advertising campaign by doing the same exact thing, by wearing a skirt on one of her legs or wearing a pair of shorts or pants on just one of her legs. And it was great. I thought it was hilarious and also extremely needed. Someone really needed to show them how ridiculous this campaign was, how offensive it was, and how not okay it is with so many things going on with body image and health already in the world to be submitting something like this when you actually want to sell clothes to plus size women. I was personally shocked and offended, and I really hope that they have learned the lesson and they will no longer continue doing these sorts of campaigns. So that about all wraps up my first segment of On Trend. I hope that I've shared some of the most interesting pieces of news related to fashion from this week. We're going to take a short break, but after the music, I invite you to come back and we're going to do my second segment where I'll be talking about the resurgence of 1970s trends in this year's upcoming fashion scene.
Sand on toes, cold sand in sleeping bags. I come to know that memories were the best things you ever had. The summer shorn, beat down on bony backs. So far from home where the ocean stood, down dust and pine bone tracks. Oh, moon. We slept like dogs down by the fireside. Awoke to the fog, we're all around us. The boom of summertime. We stood steady as the stars in the woods, so happy hearted in the warmth rang true inside these bones. As the old pine fell, we sang. Just to bless the morning. Sand on toes, coats hanging, sleeping bags. I come to know the friends around you are all you'll always have. Smoke in my lungs, or the echoed stone, careless and young, free as the birds that fly with weightless souls. We stood steady as the stars in the woods, so happy hearted in the warmth rang true inside these bones. We stood steady as the stars in the woods, so happy hearted in the warmth rang true inside these bones. As the old pine fell, we sang. Just to bless the morning.
Back with Jeff Feel, and you're listening to my show On Trend here at Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California at radio.dominican.edu. If you're just tuning in to my show On Trend, I'm covering the very latest in everything related to fashion, from pop culture to movies to news. In my first segment today, I talked about the top fashion news of the week. And now in my second segment, I'll be moving on to this spring's upcoming greatest trends. With all of the fashion weeks taking place so recently, it was very clear that so much was going on, and it was very difficult to keep up with New York Fashion Week, London Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week. But I noticed that there were some contingencies in how often certain trends were showed. So I'm going to go into the very first huge trend that I'm really going to be seeing in spring, this particular spring. And that is that the 1970s will be back in full force. They were genuinely everywhere. Everything seemed to be 1970s inspired. And I really don't know how I feel about it quite yet, but I think it's kind of cool to look at and to see what maybe some of the best pieces from the 1970s are, and what are some of the things that maybe shouldn't come back. We don't necessarily want to be looking like Jackie from the 70s show, but I'm sure that maybe the hippie and the bohemian sort of vibe with fringe and flares might be kind of cool, might be kind of cool for people who like to go to festivals or just live that kind of bohemian lifestyle. I definitely am, this isn't really my personal style. I definitely lean towards more of a structured sort of look, and I prefer maybe the 50s or the 60s in terms of fashion. But the 70s was very relaxed. Silhouettes became way more flowy, and embellishments were very, very far from subtle, the exact opposite. And in the spring, supposedly, there's going to be so many influences of 1970s that are supposed to be incorporated into your wardrobe as you move away from winter and you move towards the spring and the summertime, and the weather hopefully improves and it stops raining and the sun comes out. So I'm going to go through some of the very first trends that I saw that were going on in the 1970s and should be predicted to come back in this spring. The first one is sheer lace and mesh. And by that, there's really no subtlety about it. There's a lot of lace and a lot of mesh. It was everywhere on the runways, and there were full dresses that were just from the collarbone straight to the floor that were just fully lace and mesh, but they were a little bit see-through, so I'm not 100% sure how that's going to translate from the runways into regular life. That's kind of a huge issue with runway fashion in general, is that a lot of the clothes are just unwearable for someone who's a college student or just living a pretty normal, not so extremely glamorous of a lifestyle. They're definitely not things that are super relatable or easy to wear. So I'm curious to see how that's going to be incorporated. But I guess with maybe something underneath it, like a slip, if it's going to be a dress or if it's going to be a shirt, maybe it could be doable. Maybe something that people pick up and try out, and potentially it stays. But I would say most likely people wear it in the spring. They'll wear it for one season and then eventually they'll move on. As with a lot of things that are trends that are kind of resurging back, trends change all the time. They are always quickly moving, and as soon as you pick up something trendy, it's out of trend again, and it's not my personal favorite to do so. But maybe some of these things will stick around. We really honestly just don't know. The next trend that's huge is soft denim, which means basically just a lighter wash of denim. This means more chambray. It's not the sort of denim that jeans are actually normally made up of, but they are more popular in dresses because they have a lot of movement. It's a lot thinner of a fabric. It's a lot softer, which means it's a lot more wearable for some people. It might be something that is more wearable, but not necessarily something that can translate into jeans or jean jackets. But I could actually see this going well. I think jean dresses, as far as I've seen, as well as chambray shirts, which are just kind of a lighter, thinner wash, and they can kind of be worn as a jean jacket, but instead of a jean jacket, it's just a lighter shirt. It's better for the warmer weather. So I could actually see this trend working. This trend gets a thumbs up from me. And the next trend is something I'm very unsure about, and it's flared cropped pants. I know that there's a lot of people who actually really like this trend, and I don't really know why personally. I just don't see it. I think cropped ankle length pants are just not very flattering, especially because these pants are supposed to be kind of baggy. Well, these pants are coming back a little bit long, they're baggy. And they also are making a version of cropped pants that are baggy, cropped, and then they flare out at the ankle. And I don't really know how this can be worn in a stylish way. I personally don't see it as a very flattering look at all. And I don't really know how that could be incorporated casually into someone's wardrobe, especially when it's super unflattering. But I will not be surprised if I do end up seeing this flared, cropped pant everywhere on Instagram, because I think that's really where these sorts of trends thrive. Because of course, designers will give their clothes to bloggers and to various other people who have an influence, and they'll be posting pictures everywhere. And that's how trends really pop up, is when influential people start wearing them. So I guess if designers are really, really looking to make an impact here, then they should definitely go and try to see if someone will actually wear these and post them publicly on places like Instagram and Tumblr, and you'll see how the reaction goes. I personally don't see this lasting, and I don't necessarily see it being a successful trend. I think there's definitely something that it's lacking. The next one is fringe, which always comes back in season, so I'm not 100% sure how new of a trend it is, but it was everywhere again in this year's fashion weeks. Basically, every single fashion week featured a designer who was playing with some fringe. Fringe is definitely something that is easy to wear. I mean, I definitely see it everywhere, and if it's done more subtly, I think it can go pretty well. If it's done just not subtly at all, I think it could be a kind of a mistake. But there were definitely some subtle short fringes on hemlines of cropped skirts on fashion weeks, which I think could have a lot of potential. I definitely don't see that going too awry. But there were other things, like if the skirt is just made completely out of fringe, that I'm not so sure about. I'm not 100% sure how flattering that would actually be for anyone to wear, especially because it doesn't seem like that provides a lot of comfort or coverage if your whole skirt is made just strictly out of fringe. It's just not in my opinion, very flattering. The next one is one of actually my favorite trends. It's the off-the-shoulder neckline, which is a really great one. I think that these can be very casual and very great for the summer and the springtime. They definitely change things up, like a basic t-shirt or a basic top. If it does happen to be off the shoulder, I think that makes it a little bit more interesting. It lets you feel a little bit of sunlight, and it can definitely be worn with jeans and be a successful outfit. I think that's something that I definitely support. I really enjoy the off-the-shoulder neckline, and I think it's going to be a good one. And the next one of the 70s fashion influences is going to be the resurgence of flat mules, which is technically labeled the shoe of the hour, as far as I heard when I was reading about all of the hugest or one of some of the largest trends during the fashion weeks. They were actually everywhere, and they made them look very chic. I was actually surprised. But it's definitely a shoe that I'm not 100% sure would be the most comfortable. But then again, I actually haven't worn the shoe myself, so maybe there is some potential there. Maybe there is something that can go for the mule. We'll have to see. And moving on from the 1970s, lots and lots of other trends were seen during these fashion weeks. I had a hard time personally narrowing in on any of the trends myself until I really sat down and looked at some pictures, and that's a very interesting thing to do sometimes, because some of the things that you see are so intimidating and so unwearable to the everyday average person that you just would never even consider for a second putting something like that on. But when you see stores like Zara and H&M who are later going on and they're going to make these pieces more wearable, everybody's going out and buying them. And so there must be some kind of conversion between the designs and retailers. I think the retailers are really the one who make these wearable. So I'm excited to see how retailers take some of these trends that we're going to see in the spring and in the summertime that are all results of these really huge designers showing their lines during these fashion weeks, and make them wearable for just an average person, maybe someone who is, you know, just started their first job and needs to look professional, people who actually just need everyday clothing but maybe would like to express themselves in a more unique way. And I looked at some of the most interesting ones and compiled them, so I have quite a few to share with you. I hope you're enjoying listening to On Trend. I'm Jafiel, and my show is covering everything fashion related. And right now we're talking about the biggest trends, which is my biggest segment of the day. There was just so much to see during the fashion weeks, and I definitely wanted to switch it up a little bit and to make it a little bit more interesting for you to hear about some of the trends. I am going to finish my segment off with one of the last few trends that I saw, and in my next segment we're going to go a little bit more deeply into some of the trends. So we're going to move on. The Victorian florals were something that really popped up in this fashion week. They were very traditional, and they definitely give a nod to flowers, of course, because flowers always seem to come back every single springtime. It makes a lot of sense. It just generally, pastels and florals are something that you can completely expect every single springtime, and clearly they're going to come back. So maybe they're not even something that's a trend. They might actually be coming kind of a seasonal classic, because I don't really know anyone who doesn't expect to see lots of flowers and pastel pinks and mints and blues and all the varieties of colors that you can ever make pastel. An outfit that I actually saw that was wearing Victorian floral prints were super, they definitely gave me a reminiscent kind of feeling, and I wondered why. And then I thought it was because of Maria from the Vaughn, from The Sound of Music, when she makes outfits for the Vaughn Trapp children out of curtains. And that's kind of an unfortunate thing to think about, actually, now that I think about it, that I'm associating the trends that I saw by these huge designers who are so beguiled by everybody, and everybody is so impressed continuously by them, season by season. And I looked at it, and I definitely was reminded of something that could potentially be made from a curtain. So if you are going to wear something that is floral or inspired by the Victorian florals like were shown on Fashion Week, then I definitely recommend that you do it in a more unique way. Definitely switch it up. Do something a little bit more interesting. Make yourself not look like everybody else or wear too huge of prints, especially if you're more of a petite person. They're definitely not going to flatter your body type if the florals that you're wearing are just huge and they're distracting and you can hardly see you in the dress. So definitely be careful with florals, but obviously they're going to be in season every single spring, so might as well take advantage of it. This is even something that can go for guys. If you want to wear a button-down short-sleeved shirt with flowers on it, that is actually something I'm seeing everywhere, so why not go for it? It's springtime. The Sandman might be out. I'm not 100% sure. I really can't make any guarantees on that, but it might be out, so you might as well get your florals out and impress people. The next trend that I wanted to talk about is Barbie dresses, which I was actually shocked were something that was going on. I genuinely wasn't sure if that was the best idea, because I've never personally seen a Barbie dress and thought that I really wanted to wear that. Even when I was a kid, that just wasn't something that impressed me. But the dresses that were on the racks and that were shown in Fashion Week were all very pink, very short. They were very sparkly, and they were really not something that I could ever see people wearing in everyday life. And they were basically dubbed Barbie dresses because they were made out of a material that was so shiny, kind of didn't have enough movement. It almost looked like it was plastic. And it was such a literal interpretation of the Barbie dress. I thought it was kind of funny. Sometimes when you look at fashion trends, they can definitely be something very humorous, because they might just not be relatable in the least, but maybe they're just fun to look at. I think that's a huge part of fashion design, actually, is just creating something new and innovating something new. It doesn't necessarily have to be wearable, because a huge part of fashion is art and expression. And yeah, maybe some of these things won't be worn, but maybe they'll be photographed for Vogue and they'll be looking super cool in an editorial. So I'm definitely not going to say that some of these trends are just complete no's, because later on I might see them photographed beautifully and I'll definitely change my mind. It's just that necessarily some of these things might not be wearable at all. And the last trend that I wanted to talk about before we take our break today is called Face the Strange, which was basically a way of looking at something weird and making it kind of cool through clothing. This was a term that was dubbed in London during Fashion Week, and you could definitely see that these fast-growing fashion designers were changing it up and challenging what classic is and what should be worn. Definitely this was a tribute to Bowie, which was something super interesting to see. Bowie did dress in androgynous fashion and frequently wore both men's and women's clothing on stage and wore makeup and really changed the scene of music in terms of fashion. So seeing something like this shown on a runway being called Face the Strange, and it was basically the theme of Face the Strange is just as it sounds. It's very literal. But when they say face, they literally mean that faces were on the clothing. So there were models' faces all over the clothing. There was whomever's face you could imagine on pieces of clothing. I've actually personally seen this in real life by a designer I know whose name is Tuan Tran. And he is a sustainable fashion designer. And one of his lines that I actually saw was a line featuring his own face as well as models' faces. So as models walked down the runway, I noticed that their own faces were on their clothing. And as Tuan took his final bow, his own face was on his own suit and on his own pants and on his own shoes and on his glasses. It was everywhere that you could possibly get your face on any item of apparel. It was there. So I was not shocked when I saw this in Legend Fashion Week, because I have seen this before. Whether it's a good idea or not, I'm not 100% sure. I would never want my own face, or honestly even someone's face that I knew, because I feel like I could honestly look at a picture of them. I don't really need to put their face on my piece of clothing and just walk around with it. I actually think that could be considered a little bit creepy, to be honest. But maybe if it was someone's face that I didn't know, that I really admired, I'd really have to be someone that I really admired if I would want their face all over my clothing. I thought this was a bit extreme, but obviously some of the people had Bowie's face on their clothing, which was cool. It was a huge tribute to him. It was a huge tribute to how much of a fashion icon he really was. He definitely did a lot for fashion that was definitely challenging the gender stereotypes and gender norms, and he did a really, really good job. So this is my concluding thought for my second segment. And for my third segment, we're going to return and talk about some more really fun, exciting trends that I saw coming up for this springtime. But for now, you are listening to On Trend with Jaw Feel at Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I hope that you are enjoying the show, and very soon I'll be back to talk more about all the trends.
Nothing left to see. If it hurts and you can't take no more, lay it all on me. No, you don't have to keep it under lock and keep, 'cause I will never let you down. And if you can't escape all your uncertainty, baby, I can show you how.
everyone. This is Jafiel, and you're listening to On Trend here at Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California at radio.dominican.edu. If you're just tuning in, my show On Trend covers the very latest in everything fashion, from pop culture to movies to news. And in my second segment just now, I covered some of the biggest trends in this upcoming spring season, and I'm excited to share more with you in this segment. I definitely, as I look through the trends, noticed that quite a few of them are unwearable, but they're definitely worth a mention. They are something that is to be looked at more as art, not something you should definitely emulate until retailers take them into stores and make them more wearable for the everyday person. The everyday person who kind of needs professional clothing and casual clothing and workout clothing. But there's definitely pieces that I'm sure will be seen pretty much everywhere as soon as big retailers pick them up. So we can just jump in now. Of course, like I mentioned, the fashion weeks have been going on and now they're finally over. There was the New York Fashion Week, the London Fashion Week, and the Paris Fashion Week, and even the Venice Fashion Week. And they all featured huge designers, huge names. They definitely all had very, very memorable moments that I actually shared in a previous show, if you would like to go and listen to that. And I am going to be sharing some more trends that kind of caught my eye in both a good way and a bad way. Just the fact that they caught my eye means they're worth mention, but not necessarily meaning that they're a trend that I support or I think is going to be extremely wearable. I mentioned in an earlier segment that florals, of course, are going to be coming back. It's springtime, and when it's springtime, of course, everybody wants to be wearing their pastels and their florals. It makes a lot of sense. The weather is better, and Easter's coming up, and you want to be wearing that. And there were definitely some classic florals that were seen, but something interesting was that also gothic florals were everywhere. So for people who feel like florals might be too feminine, they might not be their thing, gothic florals are meant to be something that's a little bit more for someone who has a darker sense of style, and they definitely have very dark color palettes and longer hemlines. Personally, when I looked at these designs, they really reminded me of the Addams family, and I really thought of Wednesday Addams or Morticia Addams. And I personally have gone as Wednesday Addams twice for Halloween, and I actually think she's a very cool person in terms of style to look at. I think the fact that her style is dark doesn't mean it's not interesting or fun or wearable. I'm not personally a huge fan of floral, so I'm not sure that I'll even be jumping on the gothic floral trends, but I'm excited to see how other people do it, how they make something that's, you know, technically very feminine look a little bit more edgy and interesting. A next thing that I saw that was very interesting was metallics. Metallics are always something that comes back, but I personally never really see people wearing a lot of metallic things. They're definitely very futuristic. And if you stick around for my fourth segment, I will be talking about futuristic movies and fashion that was very futuristic in movies and whether or not that actually happened. But this is kind of an example. There were lots and lots of metallic pleated skirts seen on the runways. They revealed a lot of contrasting fabrics and prints. There was a lot of satin and fishnets and even snakeskin, which I personally, that really puts me off of any kind of piece of clothing if someone says it's made out of snakeskin. So I won't be partaking in that, but the metallics, I'm actually curious to see what people do with it. I am actually someone who doesn't really like jumping on any kind of a trend just because I feel like trends are something that is so passing, so fleeting. You really don't know how long something is going to stick around before it becomes something a little bit too cliche or weird or whatever it is. So I don't really like jumping on trends unless I really just personally like it. I would never just wear something because it's a trend. And to go off of something that was kind of, we talked about the gothic florals, now we're moving into the punk tweed. People really like to switch things up that are a little bit more constricting or formal or feminine and like to make them a little bit more edgy and dark. So punk tweed basically takes things that look very prim and proper, like the suits from Chanel. This season, people, or designers specifically, were trying to give suits like this an edge with bolder silhouettes, damaged details, and angsty styling. I actually think this will be interesting. I haven't seen too many pictures of this, but if this actually is something that happens, it could be very interesting. I think tweed is super fun to play with, but again, things like Chanel suits are just not wearable for every day. So I'm curious to see how changing it up and making it more punk will make it more wearable for the everyday person. Again, there was lots of ruffles. There were sheer sleeves, which were kind of cool. They're actually attached to a garment that isn't sheer, but then they have sheer sleeves. I think it's very interesting, and I'm excited to see what happens. I also saw a lot of wispy tulle, which is kind of crunchy, the kind of tulle that's used for ballet skirts. It's the complete opposite of that, if that's something that was on your mind. This is light and thin and airy. It makes very pretty dresses, and I love seeing pretty dresses, although, to be honest, I feel like I would never have a place to wear a dress that is basically a ball gown, but I would love to, so I really enjoy looking at them, and, you know, seeing all these girls looking like princesses is just great. The next trend that I really liked is cardigan dresses. They're basically sweater dresses that are being given a cardigan treatment, so they're being given ribbed details and a button up front. They are actually a really versatile piece as far as I saw. You can actually wear them half buttoned, or you can wear them fully buttoned up with pants. You can wear them with an off-the-shoulder look, which I mentioned before in my 1970s kind of spiel, because the 1970s are huge and they're coming back. And off-the-shoulder, I actually have found, comes back every single season. So this is something that supposedly should be worn off-the-shoulder. And my next trend, which is going to be my last one for my trend segment, is going to be cut and sew, which is basically modeled after Frankenstein. It definitely is something where people take different types of fabrics and different types of textures and sew them together, and they make asymmetrical shapes and really, really contemporary looking things that have different silhouettes that we maybe have never seen before. They're super interesting and something I'm not 100% sure about yet, but I could see how it could be fun and something that maybe we should be looking out for, because I know that during the punk movement, when that sort of fashion was huge, it was definitely something to be seen. It was definitely a way that people could express themselves and be creative, especially people who tend to shop at maybe secondhand stores and want to make something cool out of that instead of going out and buying something designer. But that about all wraps up my segment about the spring trends. I hope that you've enjoyed it and that it's been informative for you. Maybe some of these trends are things that you're going to be seeing in stores, and you can take a look and see if any of these things fit your style, or maybe they can be a way to change up your style with an upcoming season. This is On Trend with Jafiel, and I will be back in my next segment to talk about fashion in futuristic movies. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, and I'll be back soon.
Walking home and talking lows, seeing shows in evening clothes with you. From nervous times and getting drunk, to staying up and waking up with you. And I was sleeping at the edge, holding something we don't need. This delusion in our heads is gonna bring us to our knees. So come on, let it go. Just let it be. Why don't you be you? And now me. Everything that's broke. And slamming doors at you. If this is all we'll living for? Why are we doing it, doing it, doing it anymore? I used to recognize myself. It's funny how reflections change. And we're becoming something else. I think it's time to walk away. So come on, let it go.
This is Jafiel, and you're listening to On Trend here at Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California at radio.dominican.edu. I'm very excited to have you back with me for my final segment of the day, where I'm going to be talking about fashion and futuristic movies. I really enjoy my movie segment every week. I think it's so much fun to look at fashion and movies. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I always wanted to emulate people that I saw in fashion. And now that I'm looking back at movies that I watched that were predicting fashion in the future, so, you know, Back to the Future 2, which predicted actually 2016, and movies like Xenon, which predict fashion in 2059, as well as The Hunger Games, which predicts the future, I don't really know when, but I'm always watching movies that are predicting futuristic fashion. And the more that I thought about it, when I was a kid, movies like this made a huge impression on me because I really thought when it was going to be 2016, these are things that we were going to be wearing. Or movies that were targeted towards children, I for sure thought, this movie is going to tell me exactly what I need to wear when I'm a teenager, when I'm a grown-up. This is what I need to wear to be a cool person, to fit in with everybody. But now that I've looked at the fashion as a somewhat adult, I am not so sure that the things that I'm seeing are things that are going to be happening ever in the fashion universe. I'm not sure that there may be a good idea to happen. But I personally think that I really, really hope that designers in the future tend to innovate more, because I'm always seeing resurgences of trends from the 1970s, the 50s, the 60s, even the 90s or the 80s. There are things that are span decades. Everybody is always saying, this is going to be back this season, or this is going to be back. And I would love to see something that is new, something that is not something that we've seen before, and maybe the creation of some new fashion. That's definitely what I'm looking forward to. But to give you a brief synopsis of some movies that I looked at recently and their portrayal of futuristic fashion and whether or not it's actually accurate, we can move on. You're listening to On Trend, by the way, with Jeff Thiel. We're talking about everything fashion related, and right now we're talking about futuristic movies. One of my favorite movies when I was a kid was Xenon, and there was actually Xenon the first movie, Xenon the sequel, and Xenon Z3. I'm sure that for people who have never heard of these movies, they probably sound very weird, but basically Xenon is a girl of the 21st century. She is just an average 13-year-old girl who wants to be independent, who thinks she knows everything about the world, and she's always getting into arguments about her parents because she wants to do this and she wants to be responsible and she wants to go meet her favorite pop singer. She doesn't pay attention in class. She may not have been the best role model at the beginning of her first movie, but she's very, very brave. And they basically portray 2059 in their movie and all of their fashion. Some of the clothing choices take place on a spaceship, and some of the clothing choices take place on the moon and on the Earth. So it's basically spanning everything, but there's a bunch of very interesting things. Everybody is wearing kind of legging type of things that I have seen in American Apparel. There's very tight pants. The only difference I see is that a lot of the leggings that they're wearing are actually metallic or hot pink. And I definitely see that Raven Simone, who is in all the movies, she does wear slinkies in her hair instead of hair ties. Some bad choices are made, in my opinion, but there is a lot of metallic things. There's everything is kind of looking like it could be worn on a spaceship. And it's so futuristic, and I definitely thought, okay, this is what fashion is going to be like when I'm an adult. And obviously it didn't register to me that 2059 is going to be a little bit far off, and I am not going to be a teenager trying to, you know, impress everybody. But as a kid, I thought, okay, this is what I need to wear. This is what's cool. Now that I look at it, I'm not 100% sure that it's that cool. I'm not sure I'm 100% impressed. And I don't recommend dressing like Xenon unless it's maybe for Halloween. But then again, I really do hope the designers do something new. So maybe we'll be moving towards it. And maybe I'll just regret saying that because I don't know. I really don't know where fashion is going. And the next movie and the last movie I'm going to talk about today, we're definitely going to talk about more movies in the future on my show, which is on 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday. The next piece of fashion that I wanted to talk about is from Back to the Future 2, which actually does predict 2016. And in that movie, he is wearing a self-drying jacket, auto lace-up shoes, and jeans with pockets that are pulled out. And they're actually things that some of the things in this movie actually did catch on, whereas some of the things really did not. Wearing your inside-out jeans really haven't caught on, and I'm really not sure why they would. I really don't see the benefit of wearing your jeans inside out. But unfortunately, visible pockets that apparently they flap in the wind as you skateboard and all of that, that's actually a thing. I was really not that aware, but apparently it's a thing. And the shoes that they wear in it are actually something similar to the shoes that Kanye West's line Yeezy produces. So some of the things that actually are shown in Back to the Future 2 are things that are actually around, and some of the things are, in my opinion, not the best trends, and some of the things are a little bit better and a little bit more interesting. And I really do hope that they continue, because they could be pretty fun. And I hope you've enjoyed my little spiel on futuristic movies. I really hope that maybe when you look at movies, you can look a little bit closer at the fashion. And maybe if you do watch Xenon again, which I plan on doing because I loved that movie so much when I was a kid. I loved all three, actually. I was a huge fan. That maybe you can notice the fashion and see if movies that are set in the future ever actually predict what fashion's going to be like, or if maybe they're always a little bit off kilter because they're maybe a bit too futuristic and we have yet to all move to space. But for now, I'm going to wish you goodbye and have a good week, and I will see you next time with my show On Trend. Until next time, this is Ja Feel signing off. Don't miss my show every Monday from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. at radio.dominican.edu.